You're listening to the Mahogany Says Show with host Mahogany Silverain on Blog Talk Radio, MahoganySilverain.net. War is coming, and no one knows it but Gwen. He has one mission to stop his former coven from attacking the mundane. Only then can he return to his quiet life. Until a beautiful time traveler with bad news about the future. That was all. Her presence, however, complicates everything as matters with the mundane go from bad to worse. He can't turn a blind eye to attraction, nor can he go back to normal without a price. He must find a way. Pandora's Kiss, an Asian male black woman time travel fantasy romance by T.D. Bond, available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. Get your copy today. As a Miami nightclub owner, Paolo De Luca takes to heart the code, a life for a life. He also has a personal code, don't screw the help. However, it's getting more difficult for him to keep his eye off of his sexy bartender, Lyric Mason. He has no time for love, not with a rival gang muscling in on his counterfeit business. And when hell breaks loose, heads will roll. Lyric's grandfather warned her to stay away from the DeLucas. However, needing to pay for art school, Lyric does what she must do. But when she sees counterfeit bills filtering through the club, it brings her up close and personal with Paolo De Luca. Time stands still, and Lyric is ready to throw away everything her grandfather warned her about De Luca. Paolo De Luca, part of the Savage Bloodline series by Tamika Brown. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
Everyone, this is Mahogany Says Show. I'm your host, Mahogany Silverain, and tonight we have a great show for you. You're going to meet one of USA Today's best-selling author, and I met her through a shared world that we are writing in, so I'm really excited for you guys to meet her, Mariah Kingsley. Mariah?
Hey, guys. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing real good.
Awesome. So, Mariah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a USA Today bestselling author, but my greatest accomplishment is to being a mother of seven.
Wow.
And I haven't pulled all my hair out. I am a wife of two spouses, a woman and a man, Jarvis and Leticia, and we live a crazy life, but we get through life together.
Nice. So, tell me about your books. How many have you and published?
I have over 20 books published. I started writing in 2011. My father was very sick. I couldn't sleep at night, so I decided to write a story. And I published that story after one of my aunts, Teresa, read it, and been writing ever since.
Nice. Have you always wanted to be a writer?
I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a club owner. I wanted to be a lot of things, and so I figured to be them all, I must write. Yeah, so I get to live all of my fantasy jobs and just write.
That's awesome. Because you're really creative like that. So tell us about your first published book. What was that journey like?
When Forever Ends it's not exactly romance because, you know, I didn't know the fundamentals of what a romance novel was. I just wrote what was on my heart. And so it's about two marriages at a crossroads. Charles and Cass, and they became best friends. They were trying to help each other fix each other's marriages and end up falling in love with each other. I use each other a lot, but that's exactly what happened. They fall in love with each other, and although they try to fight it, they can't. And, yeah, that's the first book. And so it did really well for a first book.
So did it have a happy ending for the couple?
It has a happy ending for somebody.
Because I know how picky readers are. Like, wait, this is good, but where's the happy ever after?
I have people that were like, when they finished reading the book, they were like, oh, this isn't a traditional romance, but I was happy with the way it went. So, yeah, it was
happy
to somebody.
Nice. So did you encounter any resistance when you were trying to get it published?
I always wanted to be in control of my own narrative, so I never went the traditional route. I've had people try to ask me to become traditionally published, but I'm a control freak, and my books are my children, and I like to raise them like I want to raise them. I don't want someone to walk in and say, well, he can't say that. Well, yes, he can, because that's what he told me to say. So, tradition's so stifling, in my humble opinion. And I don't want that. So, I like having control.
Yeah, that sounds like me, too. Because you're right, it is your baby. And you really don't want someone coming in and telling you what the baby can and can't do. So, I think you create, more creative control when you self-publish. Now, are you your own brand, own publisher?
I am my own publisher. Mariah Kennedy Productions is a LLC. It has all the bells and whistles and tax liabilities that any other publishing company has.
Nice. I know, it's not always easy.
No.
So what is your day job?
I do taxes at the beginning of the year. I work from January to April. And then when that is over, all I do is write.
Awesome. Now, is writing something you want to do professionally as just
forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do that forever. It's what makes me happy. It's my happy spot. It's what I'm good at. I'm good at telling a story. I'm good at making you love someone that you're supposed to hate. I'm good at that.
Nice. So for you, what comes first? Is it the plot or your characters?
Ah, the dream comes first. Every book that I've ever written is because of a dream I've had.
Wow.
So the dream comes first.
Wow.
I dream a whole book all the way up from the beginning to the end, and when I wake up, I have a notebook by my bed. I jot down plot points. Especially if I wake up and I'm thinking, God, that was a good dream. I write it down.
Wow.
And I write it. So the dream comes first.
That's amazing. I would totally lose the dream. I'll remember bits and pieces, but I wouldn't remember it from start to finish. Wow.
Yeah. I remember it from start to finish, especially if it's a good one.
The
characters might look a little different in the dream, or I might not know what their faces look like. But I do remember their voices. So that's how it kind of resonates with me.
Okay. That's awesome. So do you also have characters that talk to you?
Sometimes they don't shut up.
Yeah. Exactly. And some of them want their own book.
All of them.
Like, I'm stealing the show here. I want my book here.
Ironically, the book that I just finished, it was a 2-book series. It was a complete novel. It was done. And I had a dream that my main character's love interest had a stalker. And I wrote that story in about 2 weeks.
Wow. A novel in 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah. 50,000.
That's really good.
Yeah, it really...
Wow. Yeah, I'm totally impressed now because I could get a novel out in 2 weeks. Maybe a novella, but...
I locked myself in my office and wouldn't come out. And my family was like, are you alive in there? Is there bodies? What are you doing? Oh, my God. Did you shower today?
When that chap is flowing, you don't want anything else to interrupt.
Right?
But you got to finish. I spent days being up, and I never went to sleep, didn't eat until I heard my stomach growl. Yeah, just to get, because it was coming. It was just flowing, and you got to do what you got to do. Don't want
right.
the chap to get turned off. The minute you step away, or at least in my case, I step away. that is awesome. So how do you come up with the titles to your books?
That is a long process. I have friends that I call. I'll tell them what the book is about. I'll tell you a funny story. I wrote this book called I Wish You Were, and it was a lesbian romance. And I knew what the title was from the beginning because she wished she was a man. She was everything that she wanted in a man, but she happened to be a woman. And so the story was called I Wish You Were. And so I had this plot twist at the very end where the main character's best friend was secretly dating her father.
Oh.
And my, readers was like, wait a minute, where's that story? And I was like, oh my God. So I got to write this story that I hadn't dreamed about or talked about. And I started writing this story, and when I got to the end, I was like, I should stay in the I wish you, you know, realm so they'll link together. And a friend of mine calls me, and she was like, I got the perfect name for your book. And I was like, what is it? She's like, I call him Daddy, too.
yes. That is perfect.
Of course.
Yeah,
I
call him Daddy.
Pass that
way.
Yeah, I call him Daddy, too.
Yeah, I saw that in one of your books on Amazon. And I was like, that's an interesting one. And then I saw it was part two to I Wish You Were. So I said, I'm going to have to read
it. It can be read as a standalone. It can be read as a standalone. If lesbian romance isn't your thing, it can be read as a standalone. But I will tell you that every kind of sexual position that a man, a woman can have.
That's a lot of positions.
That's a lot of positions to be in.
Yeah.
It was fun
with
to write.
With a lot of people.
Especially when I wrote about this. Yeah.
Yes. So you, like, actually picture this in your head, and you just write what you see?
Absolutely. When I can see the story unfolding in front of me. And usually I write the dialogue first, go back and write the scene, like, paint the picture. And then tweak it from there.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. Writing your dialogue first and then painting the scene around it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the most difficult part about writing for you?
Marketing. I can write a book. Oh my God.
I can write a book.
That's easy.
I know you can. That's the easy part. And the fun part.
Writing the blurb, telling you what this book is about without telling you what this book is about. It's so daunting for me. I've hired people. I have a friend that I call and I'm like, okay, this is what the book is about. Send me the synopsis. That's hard. But I've gotten better with marketing through the years.
That's good.
Books that I thought, like, I Wish You Were, I never thought that book would do well, especially in a lesbian, with it being a lesbian romance. I never thought it would be so well received.
Wow.
I sell that book almost every day. Every day I sell that book.
That is awesome. That is really amazing. But you have something you didn't even think it was going to take off, and it does. It's like your dark horse.
Right. Everything that I've ever thought was going to be just something to put out, nobody's going to read this. Those are the books that everybody reads. That everybody loves.
Nice. So when you're writing, how much world building takes place? Or is it like you're trying to write a contemporary world, or are there different types of world building you use?
So usually I write in a contemporary world. So I make up cities and restaurants and Those kind of things. Well, I don't make up cities. Like, I write about Denver a lot, mostly because I really want to go to Denver. I'm actually going to Denver in April, and I hope that it lives up to everything that I have in my heart. But if I don't get to go, I hope so. I hope it's everything, and I hope I never want to go home.
Yes. I think I moved here from Denver. So, yes, you will love it. There's so many things to do there. And it's a really active city. Everybody exercises. Everybody goes hiking. They even bike every day. There are bike roads. Regular street, but you got a bike path going down the same thing. You cannot even go into their lane. So there's bike lanes.
Wow.
And they have
lots of
museums. Oh, see, your kids would love. It's going to sound weird, but it's like a meow bark. It's a children's museum, but it's like interactive. Everything in there is interactive. It's like a children's paradise, but adult paradise at the same time, too, because you can, you know, play games. Kids can do role-play things. It's really cool. I mean, I'm sure someone listening right now knows exactly what I'm talking about. I just can't remember the name right now, but it is the coolest museum.
Wait. So, yeah, I write about Houston a lot because I'm from Houston, and I know a lot about the city. But I write about Denver a lot, Houston, and then I make up small towns, like towns in Texas that don't really exist, but I make them up.
Make them up.
So, like what?
That's cool. There's a lot of towns in Texas you don't have to make up, and they sound just as weird. It sounds like they're made up.
Yeah, but usually when I make up a town in Texas, it's because I'm going to do that town dirty.
Oh,
and I don't want anybody to come back and say I made their town look horrible.
There are towns not like that, you know. You have to remind them this is fiction. Okay, it's just not nonfiction. This is fiction. Calm down.
Yeah,
but I guess you have to make that clear to some people. Some people will take it.
It's all fiction. Please leave it all.
Yes,
I just dreamed of lady.
Right. Anything that looks, you know, or sounds like something else is just a coincidence. I always put that in front of my book. Because, I might use a real city. I may make one up. But, yes. And then, this person sounds like something else. I don't know that person. So, it's not that person. So, describe your perfect book, heroine or hero.
Okay. So, she has to be strong. Like, I only write about women that are, like, lawyers or doctors or PR reps, strong women in professions that are led by men. Although lawyer is no longer led by men, if you didn't know that. There's more women lawyers than there are.
Oh, yeah.
So she has to be strong. She has to be brave.
Mm-hmm.
But she has to have some kind of background that takes away from that hard exterior, something where she's ashamed of where she came from or ashamed of what that made her do to get to where she
exactly.
Like, and I call her Daddy too. Lisa was a executive assistant to one of the most powerful women in this country. And you might think, oh, that's just a secretary. No, but if the right secretary makes the world go round. So she had that kind of power, but her mother was a crackhead. And
wow.
So she dealt with all of the, you know, the negative aspects of that life.
Right.
Which made her more prepared, you know, more prepared than most young people for life. Because she had to grow up really fast and take care of herself. So it was that kind of thing.
Nice. So something still flawed and tragic that she overcome.
Right. And my perfect hero, he has to be strong, and in my head, a real man lets you be exactly who you are. He doesn't give you conditions on who you are. He loves you exactly for who you are.
Yes.
And so my strong hero is finding his own shoes, still successful. He still has what he has going on for him, and he can let you be and shine like you ought to shine. And if at any point you feel like you're not worthy of that, he's the one that dusts you off and say, oh, no, girl, you're diamond. Like, let me shine you up a little more. Let me go buy you some Louis Vuitton so you can feel, you know.
Oh, I like that.
Those kind of things.
Yeah, yeah, we all need that one.
Yeah, we all need a pair of Louis Vuitton.
Oh, yeah. That's a true alpha. You can also share the spot with his queen. I love that.
Absolutely.
So, do you have a favorite character?
Of my own?
Yes.
No.
No?
I do not. I like them all equally.
Or are you afraid of you if you pick one?
Absolutely. I guess I like the one that I'm writing right now.
Nice. So do you have a favorite book?
I'm quiet because I'm thinking, what is my favorite book? Okay. So Once and Twice Broken is probably the closest you'll ever get to an autobiography by me. About
Oh,
me.
Okay.
So that book stands a little different from anywhere else. And then I Call Him Daddy 2 was supposed to be fun and games, but that book is deep. Like, it's probably one of the most thought-provoking books I've ever written.
Nice.
Especially about life and death and how you perceive your life to end up. Everybody has this in the end thought, I'm going to be this person, and we don't talk about the road it takes to get to that person. And so I think
right.
I Call Him Daddy too. And then Their Lies Are My Truth is I was pissed off at my family. Absolutely livid. Had a dream, wrote it down, wrote this very short novel that I just put on Amazon just to, you know, I paid for editing, put it on Amazon just to put it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And when people read it, I have the most reviews on that book out of every book that I own.
Wow.
And it was just out of a place of anger.
You know, sometimes books written out of emotion can turn out to be the best because people can identify with that.
Yeah. So every book has a story. Every book has a place in my heart. Every book is a stepping stone to who I have become as an author in whatever stage I was in life.
I like that because it really does. Even your writing changes by what you go through.
Right.
So what do you do when you're not writing?
I had a really smart-ass answer for that, but I won't say it.
You can say it. This show is not PG-13, so you can say it.
Oh, fuck. A lot. My husband tells me, I'm not doing that. You need to write that in the book. I'm not doing that. I have two spouses, so my life is really busy. I travel a lot. I read a lot. I listen to audiobooks a lot. Practice my craft, so I read books about the writing industry a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have 7 children, so it's softball, basketball, baseball, football, track.
Wow.
Somebody does something. Always something going on. So it's a lot of that.
Yes. Do you use a whiteboard to kind of keep up with everyone's activities and doctor's appointments? Because that's what I used to do with 6 kids.
No. I tell Alexa what I want, and Alexa, stop.
Yeah, you can't say
she
her name. She's going to answer you.
Yeah, she reminds me of everything, including picking up the kids. Because I will get into writing, and it's time
yes.
to pick up the keys, and I completely forget.
Yes, and it's definitely not on purpose. I can totally understand that. I have forgotten doctor's appointments or what I was supposed to be doing because I was writing. So, yeah, I can definitely attest to that. So, what is your favorite food?
Chinese this week.
Does it change every week?
Egg rolls do it for me. Yeah, it changes every week. It could be steak. It could be Chinese is what does it for me right now. Something about some Mongolian beef and some egg rolls
it.
And chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a place close to my house that makes what they call pepper wings, best wings on the planet.
Nice. I still have only found one Chinese restaurant that I really like, and that's Stir King. But it's in Warner Robins, Georgia, and I don't live there anymore. So at every place, Denver, I couldn't find a Chinese place that I really, really liked. And the one I that came close to...
Have you ever been to La Felicia?
No.
It's in Denver. I just wondered. Kristen Ashley, which is the author that I like, she writes about them all the time.
Okay. I know Kristen. Yeah, I read her first book, and I've had her on the show.
Shut your mouth.
Yes,
you know Kristen Ashley?
Yeah, I know Kristen Ashley.
Oh,
like
my
her.
God. That would be
She's
a great birthday
sweetheart.
Gift if you can, like, make her my friend.
Well, I can tell you how to get up with her, so, yeah. Because she's awesome. She really is. She's a really sweet, really good sweetheart. And open and bubbly. And, yeah. You would really like her.
Cool.
But, yeah, I've never heard of that restaurant. And there's so many that I've never eaten at an Ethiopian restaurant before I went to Denver. That just floored me. Because I was like, Ethiopian food? Wow. That's the only thing I hadn't had. I mean, I've been to African restaurants.
Was it good?
West African. Yes. It was good. I'm like, ooh, okay. So I went to a restaurant. It has something called Chicken Nut. And it is like stewed chicken, but it's in like a peanut sauce. And it has like, it's topped with little crunchy peanuts. And it is so good. I didn't think peanut butter and chicken would actually work, but it's really good.
I don't know if I would do peanut butter and chicken.
That's what I thought too. But she let me taste a little bit of it. I'm like, yeah, put that on my plate. Because it was good. It was really good. I was surprised. And there was when I used to live in Houston, there is a... Like, I noticed the signs for each nationality. They were in their language. Like, there was little India, there was little Korea, and Nigeria. That's where I got the food from. I remember it wasn't Denver. It was in Houston. And it was a Nigerian restaurant.
Yes. Houston is a totally different ballgame when it comes to food. Totally different.
Yeah, the Korean restaurant was very memorable. I remember how they had the spread, and they put the meat in the middle, and they put all the sides around it. And I thought, okay, this is great. And I tasted the meat, and I'm like, this is different. And I didn't ask. I didn't really, I guess because the menu just said, I assumed it was beef, and it wasn't.
What was
you know
it?
It was, don't you?
I'm scared to ask.
It was dog.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was,
I didn't
it was under...
Okay.
I told you. Yeah, I should have asked what that was. I just saw it on the menu, and I thought, okay, that's beef. It looks good, and it's got all the, you know. Everything else was great. But once they she told me, oh, you like? And I'm like, yeah, this is a different type of beef I've never had. And she said, oh, it's not beef. I'm like, oh, that is it. I nearly fell out my chair.
Girl, shut up. I would have threw all that up. All that had to go. And I'd have called the health department and the SPCA and PETA. I'd have called PETA.
Oh, my God. I know. Even the kids are looking to me like, oh, we just ate a dog. I'm like, my poor babies are traumatized now because we ate a dog.
They should be. I wouldn't eat meat ever again. I got a whole bunch of dogs.
And I've had dogs and cats growing up, so I mean, like
when
I said, it didn't taste bad. It just, I was like, it was just a different taste. It doesn't taste like any beef. Oh my God. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, just ask when you go to the restaurant what this meat is before you order it. Okay.
See, I'm not adventurous. I eat what I know. So that would probably never happen to me.
See?
Because I eat exactly what I know. And then I ask questions. What did you cook it in?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a tomato allergy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be careful about what I eat because I'm allergic to tomatoes.
Right. Most definitely, you're going to anaphylactic shock, right?
If you stewed it in something, yeah, right. If you stewed it in something and you stewed it in some tomatoes, I can't eat that. I ain't even going to try to. No, thank you.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, I'm asking questions.
I would, too. Ever since that incident, I was like, okay, what's in it? I will try and just about anything once, but, yeah. If it looks suspect, I'm gonna ask.
Now, before you brought it to my table, I need to know what it is. Like somebody wants me to try Peking duck.
Oh no,
and
that's
I'm like,
good.
I'm just,
that is. Good.
I don't know if I want a duck. I don't know if I want a duck. I'm good.
I mean, you've never had turducken?
Chicken? Can you make a chicken like that? Have I had what?
Turducken.
No.
It's turkey.
I know what it is.
Inside the turkey, there's a duck, and then inside the duck is a chicken. Turducken. It's really good.
Uh-huh. I don't want that.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so you're not good with the duck. But it's
not
even good. But the meat was kind of tender. You know, it's not tough at all, like I thought it would be. But have you ever had, like, ostrich or quail?
Mahogany. I eat chicken. Chicken. Okay, you heard me? Let me say it again. You got to eat chicken. I know what it is. I leave the feathers off. I don't want to know. No, thank you. I've had Cornish hens.
Yes.
I actually made a really good Cornish hen for Thanksgiving. I didn't want turkey, so I made everybody a Cornish hen. That was amazing.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, I stuffed it with dressing. Stuffing. And it was really good. But no,
turkey.
When I say I'm particular, yeah, I like turkey, all right. I'll eat that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want no duck. And I don't want
that,
no quail.
And I'm from New Orleans originally, so no frog legs, no turtle.
No. How
about shellfish?
I have a funny story about turtles, though.
Okay, go ahead.
So when I was a kid, my dad would go fishing. And this one time I didn't go with him. And when he got back, he showed me the fish, and he told me that when I got up from my nap, we would have fried fish ready. So I went to go take a nap, and I guess I woke up before he did, and he was disassembling a turtle to cook, and I caught him. And so he was like, dang, I'm going to give you some turtle. And I was like, no, you weren't. I didn't eat anything because he fried the turtle with the fish, and I didn't eat anything. I was cool.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna leave it.
I was good. I didn't even want the French fries. He fried the fries in the same batter, in the same oil.
No.
I don't want it.
No.
I'm good. I'll be hungry. Yeah, I've been hungry a couple of times. Living up. My daddy would tell me, if you don't eat this, you don't eat nothing. Hey, dog, we good?
I'll just stuff.
And that's
tonight.
That's one thing that I don't do to my children. I don't make them eat something that they don't like. Like, if I'm cooking something, like I have a kid who don't eat potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
She don't eat french fries. She'll eat potatoes. And so, I don't make her eat potatoes. Like, even if I'm making something with potatoes, I make her a side of rice or a side of vegetable. She's a vegetable head.
Oh,
she don't eat potatoes.
That. That's good.
Yeah, so I'll make her some extra broccoli or some Brussels sprouts. What she likes is Brussels sprouts. Weird kid.
Yeah. They're okay. I just never really got into Brussels sprouts. They remind me of those mini cabbages.
Well, I think that's what they are.
Is it? I don't know. I never really got into it, but I just know they leave me very gassy. So, yeah. But, yeah. But it's good that she makes Brussels sprouts, and it's good that she actually likes vegetables. It's hard to get kids to eat vegetables. And my kids actually like salad. They love salad. If they did not eat another vegetable, they ate that. Especially because my husband used to grow it in the backyard. If I could get them not to eat the heirloom tomatoes before I can make a salad, because I would tell them to go pick it out the yard so I could wash them everything. No, these jokers come in with like half a basket. I was like, I know we had more than that. We ate them. Because, you know, they have different sizes. The little ones, are like, they're so sweet. You can just throw them out the little yellow ones. It's like you're eating a grape, but they're tomatoes. So, I mean, I know you're allergic to tomatoes. So maybe that was a bad story. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've never had a tomato. I didn't need a tomato. They didn't try to kill me.
Right. Well, I'm allergic to bleach, so there's that. So COVID hit and everybody's using bleach. I thought I would die. Just not from COVID, but from the bleach everybody was using. I was wearing masks long before COVID, so. Yeah, can't have anything to do with bleach.
Wow.
And everybody was going overboard with it. And I stuck to Lysol. Thank you very much. I want to live.
I want to live.
I didn't care about COVID. I was worried about dying from the bleach. But anyway, so back to your books. I know you were saying that Once Broken and Twice Broken had to deal with more like a biography for you. And could you touch a little bit, without giving us any spoilers, what how much that book means and what insight that you have to offer from them?
So my mother had schizophrenia, and no one knew about it. I often ask people, what was CPS when I was a kid? What were they doing?
Right.
So my mother had schizophrenia, and she was too much for my father to handle. And so he left me with her at 12 years old. I was paying bills. I was cooking dinner. I was making sure she took her meds.
Wow.
I was just being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I met someone, and he walked into the situation. I was 17. He walked into the situation and helped me navigate being an adult at 17. And I fell in love with him, and he loved me back, but he had a lot going on, and I'm just going to leave it at that. And so that book talks about that.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then a couple of years ago, I put on Facebook that I was looking for a handyman to fix my kitchen. And someone gave me a number. And it's like, this guy's really good and he's reasonable. And I was like, okay, cool. So I go on there and I call him first, and he texts me back and he says, hey, I'm on a job. I can't talk right now, but I can text and answer any questions that you have. And so I told him what I needed. His price, he sounded like he did a great job, and so he sent me some pictures, that kind of thing, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him the address. He shows up, and it's my ex from when I was 17.
Oh, no. You didn't recognize his voice?
I never talked to him. Remember, he only talked to me through text message.
Okay.
And I've had the same number for the past, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he had my number and knew who I was. but didn't want
didn't
me
say
to
anything.
Say no because he wanted to see me again.
Well, that was sneaky.
Anyway, that was, and I was standing at the door with my mouth wide open like, oh, my God. And he was still firing girls. That being said.
Wow.
So that night I had a dream. I woke up and wrote it down. And I wrote the story.
Hmm. Now that is amazing. That is really cool.
Yeah.
And speaking of cool, I would like to talk about Rise of the Dread. So, we are writing in this shared world, and it is really going to blow everybody's mind, and it is awesome. And so tell us a little bit about...
First of all, let's talk...
Yeah. Go ahead.
First of all, let's talk about how well 15 authors, especially authors of color, are getting along and working together to make this thing big. That's probably the most beautiful thing about it, and nobody will know about that. That's literally the most beautiful thing about Rise of the Dread, is that we all are from different phases in our author career, and we work so well together.
We do. We really do. And it's like nobody has any, you know, hang-ups or anything like that, and we just seem to all click, all of us. And it's like we're just this family. We've become this really tight family. And led by our illustrious leader, Lawrence Hall. So it is a fantasy romance / paranormal, you know. So if, you know, people really enjoy fantasy or they really enjoy paranormal, they can put them together in this because it is 100% minority written. And most people don't think that we're into things like fantasy, but, you know, we are. And this is my actual first time stepping into quote-unquote fantasy, even though I'm a paranormal author and you're a contemporary, but it's like you guys are just, you know, blowing me away at every meeting, and there's so many different things we've learned from each other that I think that connection is probably the best thing about this shared world.
I've written urban fantasy. I have a book in urban fantasy called Son of the Reaper, but I've never written pure fantasy.
Yes.
But I will say I am book 6 in the series, and my characters are Ara and Tyrus, and so
what's the title of your book?
Daywalker's Revenge. It is about a woman who has the power to manipulate the light around her, where she can become completely invisible. And she got her, so she gets these powers. She has a twin sister. She gets her powers when she is 8 years old. But when she wakes up from her 8th birthday, she notices that her sister is no longer there. And her family tells her that she's never to speak of her again.
Wow.
And then a few weeks later, her mother is murdered. But she has this huge loss in her life, and she believes at 8 years old she knows who her mother's killer is. And no one believes her when she says she knows who her mother's killer is. So at 22, she sets out to make what's wrong right.
Okay.
And the way she's going to do that is go into the kingdom of the intel and kill a man. But she comes against his son instead, and she has to get through his son to get to him. And He makes her blood boil in anger and in passion.
Ooh, I like those.
And he is, yes. And it's dark. It's very dark. It's going to have some elements of BDSM in it. It's going to have some elements of torture. It's going to have elements of edging. It's going to have a little bit of a lot. Just for them to find the truth. And in the end, you don't know if he's going to betray his people for the woman he loves. And so I'm hoping that even he doesn't know what he's going to do until the very end.
Ah, okay. I like it. I'm looking forward to reading all the books. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to reading this one. Because I really want to know what he's
going to do. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yeah. That is awesome.
So August 21st is when it comes out. Pre-orders are up now.
Yes.
Pre-orders for all of the series is up now. And
yes,
although each story can be read independently, you got to know the plot. Because the last book brings everything together.
Together.
And you don't want to be in the last. You don't want to be the last to know what goes on with the Rise of the Dragon.
Yes, exactly. And we've already been doing some promotions about it and videos. So if any of you catch the Rise of the Dragon videos, which are dark and it's probably the darkest thing I have written, I really like this world. And I'm looking forward to reading every single last one of these books because even though we know pretty much the arc of the story, we still don't know exactly who's going to win or who's going to, because these six kingdoms are, you know, fighting for survival and to be, you know, the kingdom. Because they all have this idea of not putting others down. There's a lot of what we call racism and animosity between the six kingdoms. So we'll see who's standing when everything's done. So, yeah.
And a lot of
we don't even know.
We don't. Everybody is in charge of how their story is going. And we all have a common thread. You know, we all have the fear of what the rising kingdom could do.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know which kingdom is going to actually win.
Exactly. So that's really something to look forward to. But as for Mariah Kingsley, I would definitely, Mahogany says, run out, check her out. If you could tell us really quickly where they can find you on social media and online, that way they can
I am Mariah Kingsley on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart. Just whoever has the real name Mariah Kingsley hates me. But all you have to do is put in Mariah Kingsley and you'll see me on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. All of it is just Mariah Kingsley. I also have a website, MariahKingsley.com. And I'm everywhere.
Yeah, she really is everywhere. I know, we probably all stalked each other. Let me check this out. Because, this is an exciting group of authors, which I feel like I'm not even in the league with because you guys are just so amazing. And I've read some of your books, and it's like, ooh. It's like, oh.
Lauren Hart is really.
I'm in the big
like,
here.
Yeah. Lauren Hart is really, Wiley Lamar, really heavy hitters. Like, reading their stuff, it's like, oh my God. But, yeah. Yeah.
Most definitely. And over the next few weeks on the show, I'll be introducing more and more about the lives of the tribes and the different books that are involved. And this is my second author who is a part of this shared world. So I thank you for coming on the show tonight and discussing this with me, discussing about your work and your books and your exciting life. There's 7 children. Wow, I bow to you. And you said you had 2
Thank
spouses,
you.
So I bow to you again because it's really hard to do. I mean, I'm polyamorous, and that, you know, it is emotionally challenging, I will say. Yeah, it's great people think, oh, yeah, you have more than a person, that's great. But no, these are relationships, and that's difficult, can be difficult sometimes to maneuver. So, again, my hat's off to you.
Thank you. And I have one more thing to add.
Go ahead.
If you look up Sultry in the City, it is a book event here in Houston, Texas. It has over 50 authors, and I am the host of Sultry in the City. So
Nice. If
you're looking for new authors, please come to Sultry in the City. And you can find it at sultryinthecity.com, all over Facebook, all over Instagram. And tickets
Nice. Are
free, by the way.
Oh, okay. And when is it again?
August 26th and 25th, Friday and Saturday of this year.
Okay.
It will always be the last weekend of August.
The last weekend of August. So this is something that happens every year?
Yeah. I'll say it one more time. I must have missed it.
Oh, I said this is something that takes place every year?
It takes place every year, the last weekend in August. And it's right across the street from NASA in Houston. Which NASA isn't in Houston, but, you can drop the kids off at NASA and come across the street and enjoy 50 to 60 humongous authors.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds amazing. And it's in Houston, Texas, so
yeah.
We have to make the trip. But, yes.
Yeah, make the trip.
Definitely. And you heard it here. So, all you said, you've got...
Yes.
Yes, definitely. You got to get to Houston. You've got to pick up Mariah's books. If you don't believe me, read them for yourself. She is the total package. So...
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I appreciate you, too, because it's like really getting to know you through working with you has been amazing for me. And, like, you are just this powerhouse, you know, that's in the group. And you don't play.
Thank you.
And I like
I
that about you.
I appreciate that. I work really hard.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like you, too.
You do. Yes. You do. I got to have my, you know. Hats off to you, a bow, the queen. Girl, it's a lot.
I still say YD is better than me. She homeschooled her kids and run a business. I can't handle that.
I used to homeschool my kids, but I couldn't run my business. It was hard. I won't lie. But anyway, thank you all for joining us. Tonight on the Mahogany Stove Show, we have been talking with best-selling author Mariah Kingsley, and we will be back next week with another author, and I wish you blessings, peace, and love.
Have been listening to the Mahogany Stove Show with your host Mahogany Silvering on Blog Talk Radio, mahoganysilvering.net. Thank you and good night.